You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. My website is crosstheborder.org. And we're going through the book of Judges, finishing up here in chapter 8, where Gideon had delivered Israel from Midian and the kings of Midian. And we left off about verse 28, 29 here. And Jerubbaal, the son of Joash, and Jerubbaal is another name for Gideon, a symbolical name of Gideon. It says, Baal will contend, Jerubbaal. So he contended with Baal. And something funny I noticed here is this chapter 8, verse 27, Gideon took all of this gold chains and all of these things and earrings, and he made an ephod thereof. And going back to verse 27 here, now looking at the word ephod, and it says, second form is a rare form, probably of foreign derivation. It says a girdle, specifically the ephod or high priest shoulder piece. Also generally an image, an ephod. So it could be an image, and that's apparently what he did. He made an image, and he put it in his city, even in Ophrah, and all Israel went a-whoring after it, which thing became a snare unto Gideon. And a hook, let's see, a snare. Well, we all get the idea of for catching animals, a snare. So it became a snare unto Gideon and to his house. So he made some kind of memorial, you know, that's to what had happened. And he placed it on the land of his house. He put it in his city. And it became a snare. So this was a golden memorial that he fashioned out of this jewelry that he collected, and it became a snare. So I see here a warning against making a memorial to anything that people can look to, and then the memorial becomes more important than the thing, because it was Yahuwah that delivered. So all of these memorials that people make and put up everywhere, they don't really mean a lot, because they really diminish the reality that you're memorializing. They really do. That's how I feel about it. Anyway, so, and they can become a snare. So anyway, we have a kind of a warning here against making memorials in an offhanded kind of way. It says Israel went thither a-whoring after it, which means they looked to this image, this memorial, rather than looking to God himself. And especially as time passed on and the reality that you're memorializing becomes more of a myth in the minds of a people than a reality, because they're looking to a memorial instead. And just something that I noticed and thought perhaps I could relate to some kind of reality so we could understand it. Anyway, so thus Midian was subdued before the children of Israel. We read that. Jerubbaal, that is Midian, the son of Joash, went and dwelt in his own house. And Gideon had 70 sons. And wow, you know, his wife certainly, he had many wives. It wasn't one woman that had all those sons. That's 70 sons. I mean, that's besides women. I mean, besides daughters, I should say. So Gideon had a lot of sons, for he had many wives. And his concubine that was in Shechem, she also bore him a son whose name he called Abimelech. And just a note there for you, in case the name Abimelech pops up in the scripture, we know that it's Gideon's son. And Gideon, the son of Joash, died in a good old age, and he was buried in the sepulcher of Joash, his father, in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And it came to pass, as soon as Gideon was dead, that the children of Israel turned again and went whoring after Baalim, and made Baal-Bereth, their god, a Phoenician deity, that is Baalim, and Baal-berith, a deity of the Shechemites. So Baal really gets around. And they made Baal their god. And the children of Israel remembered not Yahuwah, their god, who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side. So 40 years, they had 40 years of peace. As long as Gideon lived, they were looking to Gideon, and they had enjoyed their 40 years of prosperity and peace, because they were delivered out of the hands of all their enemies on every side. There were no booths to their enemies, no temples to their enemies' gods, no one in there collecting tribute and policing them of their enemies on every side. It says, neither showed they kindness to the house of Zerubbabel. So they forgot, they remembered not. They showed no kindness to the house of Zerubbabel, namely Gideon, according to all the goodness which he had showed unto Israel. Chapter 9 of Judges in verse 1. And Abimelech, the son of Zerubbabel, went to Shechem unto his mother's brethren, and communed with them, and with all the family of the house of his mother's father, saying, speak, I pray you, in the ears of all the men of Shechem, whether is better for you, either that all the sons of Zerubbabel, which are 70 persons, reign over you, or that one reign over you. Remember also that I am your bone and your flesh. And his mother's brethren spoke of him in the ears of all the men of Shechem, all these words in their hearts inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, he is our brother. And they gave him 70 pieces of silver out of the house of Baal-berith, wherewith Abimelech hired vain and light persons which followed him. And he went into his father's house at Ophrah, and slew his brethren, the sons of Zerubbabel, and that is the sons of Gideon, being 70 persons, upon one stone, notwithstanding yet Jotham, the youngest son of Zerubbabel, was left, for he hid himself. And all the men of Shechem gathered together, and all the house of Milo, and went and made Abimelech king by the plain of the pillar that was in Shechem. So here we have a very evil man that rose up, the seed of Gideon. And I was thinking about this, that one of the greatest ministries that men and women have is to their own children. And that's why it is so important, number one, for you parents, if your children are in public school, to take them out. Why do you have them in pagan training centers and call yourself Christians? Call yourself the people of God. Because you know what? If you don't follow him and you call yourselves the people of God, you are not. Because the people of God follow him. And following him means that you take your children out of the pagan training centers. And you say, oh, but my wife needs to work. Well, let me tell you, I've been a single parent and homeschooled my children. You can do it. Obedience comes first. You say, oh, but how will we make it? My wife has to work. Oh, no, how will I do it? Well, I'm going to tell you what, if both parents are working, listen to me. If both parents are working, you immediately double your cost of living. And then you get caught into the little hamster roller running cage. And you're in the wheel now. You're in the hamster wheel, and you can't seem to get off. Because if you get off, it's like you're going to crash. You won't be able to pay all your bills. Yeah, get out of the little hamster roller running cage. You're just trapped in it. And you think, oh, no, I can't stop because how, you know, what'll happen if we stop? Well, you need to put on the brakes, because I'm going to tell you what you can do. You call yourself the people of God, and your children are in the public school system training, being trained to be good little pagans, and you're going to lose them. You know, perhaps Gideon had too many sons and he couldn't train them all. There's a warning for us. We need to train our sons in godliness. We need to train them in the nurture and admonition of Yahuwah, as the scripture says, or of the Lord, as the authorized King James Version says. We need to train them. If we leave it to pagans to train them, if we turn them over to our peers, and the parents are busy working all the time, then the parents become accustomed to not spending time with their children, and they lose them to the society, they lose them to their peers, and one day they wake up and they go, what happened? Oh, in a rebellion, that's just a normal thing. Children, yes, it's a normal thing in the pagan public fool system. It's a normal thing when you have no relationship with your children because you turn them over to babysitters. The babysitters of the state, and you have no relationship with them anymore. Of course it's normal that they're going to rebel. Who are you anyway? You're the one who's turned them out to others. And then you try to exert authority over them. Of course they're going to rebel. That's natural. Of course it's natural for teenagers to rebel under those circumstances. Like I said, when both parents work, by virtue of both parents working, it doubles your cost of living. Because now, well, yes, the pagan school system is there to babysit your children during school hours. And of course, now they have, the first five program in some states, and where you can send them off and the state will pay most of it, depending on your income or whatever, but still. Now you have babysitting expenses, your food costs more, and now your health costs are higher because nobody's eating healthy and nobody's living a healthy lifestyle. So now you're doubling your cost of living. If the mother would just stay home, that would ease a lot of the burden there. Keep the children home because you spend a lot of time on traveling. You know, of the school day and the public fool system, the children get up and they spend 6 hours a day in school, approximately. And they spend a couple hours traveling, so they're gone 8 hours a day. And you have to pack them a lunch and they have to eat more expensive and unhealthy foods because of the traveling. And of course, then the whole society joins in and you got all of the travel expense. You got this great building and this bureaucracy where probably 70% of every dollar that goes to it goes to administration and building expense, and probably more like 90%. And actually, very little of the expense is spent on the children. But if you homeschool, and all of you that homeschool know it's true, you take your curriculum that they do, say, in a private Christian school, and you bring your children home, and usually the private Christian schools, don't have as long a day, but they sort of kind of try to mimic public schools to be more, especially if they're state accredited, to be more like the public schools. And as they get bigger, they become more like the public school system. But you'll find that generally, if you have one child, within 2 hours, you can cover the whole curriculum for the day. And if you have more children, it's going to take the parent a little more time, but then the older children help out. And, you know what? For a whole family, say 3 or 4 children, if the mother has to spend 3 or 4 hours, that's going to be about it with the children. But the children are learning more than just the 3 hours. They're learning respect for their parents. They will not rebel unless you turn them out. They will learn respect for their parents rather than respect for the state and their peers, and where they learn that their parents are fools. And at the same time, they will learn true home economics. You can't learn home economics in a classroom. Give me a break. You're not home. You can learn true home economics at home, because the mother is now looking for ways to save money. You can do a lot of things. Like I said, you double your cost of living. If part of her job is to reduce the cost of living while keeping the same, or what is the word I'm looking for? the same level of living, you can do a lot to save money. You can do a lot of things that you have to pay other people to do. Plus, you can learn to eat healthy and reduce your healthcare costs by, let's say, getting on the Heavenly Father's health plan and living according to His Word and keeping His commandments and learning the dietary laws and realizing that He gave all us all those things for our own good. Learning about health and nutrition and feeding your family healthy foods and nutritious foods and supplementing properly and staying away from the witch doctors of the society. And then when their commercials come on the TV where they're advertising all their little magic pills and saying, and in a really nice and clever way, telling you about all the bad things that are going to happen if you take their pills, you know, their disclaimers. That sometimes they just speak them real fast at the end of the commercial, or they weave them in cleverly disguising all of the bad effects of the pills while they're selling you this terrible stuff. And you can just watch those commercials and laugh like I do. I laugh. You know, what is wrong with people? Why do they buy this stuff? Because they've destroyed their health. And they need forgiveness now because their health is failing them. And they don't turn to God because they can't, because they're not following His law. They're following the laws of the world. So they turn to their lawgiver for the remedy to the problems that the law that they're following brings upon their life. And all of this because they have been indoctrinated by the public fool system, and by all the movies, and by the news, and by the romantic music, and on it goes. All of these things have indoctrinated your mind. You are mind controlled now by all the programming of the world. We need to come out, people. We need to come out of it. So have faith in our Heavenly Father. Women, quit the job and learn how to live, how to reduce your cost of living by 50%, or bring your job home. You and your husband learn to work together, because these jobs, they divide people. They bring divorce and destroy families. Women get to go spend their time with other men and women on job sites. And of course, what happens? Men and women fall in love with somebody else. And their husband starts looking bad because they never see him compared to the guy that they always see. And the same thing with the men going off. It doesn't have to be that way. Can you bring your job home? Can you and your wife and your family work together? Can you homeschool? Well, you can start by bringing the mother home and by her practicing true home economics, learning how to homeschool, get your children out of the public fool system. And perhaps even the father can come home. But the truth is, people get into a pattern. Most wives don't want their husbands home. That's right. Think about it. I don't want him here. I don't want him in my house all day. I like it when he just comes home at the end of the day. I get to be my own woman and the head of the house. Oh, what kind of love is that? It's not our Heavenly Father's plan. He had a different plan where people lived on the land and they worked together, families, taking care of one another. His social insurance was your family. That's right. The head of the family clan was responsible to make sure all of the widows and the orphans were taken care of. It was all in our Heavenly Father's law for family government and the government of His nation, the kingdom of God on earth. And Israel threw it off. And they now are going to accept Abimelech as their king. So all the men of Shechem gathered together and all the house of Milo and went and made Abimelech, this terrible man who slew all of his brethren. They made him king by the plain of the pillar that was in Shechem. And when they told it to Jotham, he went and stood at the top of Mount Gerizim and lifted up his voice and cried and said unto them, "Hearken unto me, ye men of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you." The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. And they said unto the olive tree, "Reign thou over us." But the olive tree said to them, Should I leave my father's, my fatness wherewith by me they honor God and man and go to be promoted over the trees? And the trees said unto the fig tree, come thou and reign over us. But the fig tree said unto them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go and be promoted over the trees? None said to the trees unto the vine, come thou and reign over us. And the vine said to them, should I leave my vine, which cheereth God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said all the trees unto the bramble, come thou, reign over us. And the bramble said unto the trees, if in truth you anoint me, if in truth you anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. And if not, let the fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. Now therefore, if you have done truly and sincerely, and that you have made Abimelech king, and if you dealt well with Jerubbaal and his house, and have done unto him according to the deserving of his hands, for my father fought with you and ventured his life far and delivered you out of the hand of Midian. And we just run out of time. We're going to have to start this and pick up here next time on Cross the Border. Well, in everything you say and everything you do, bless his holy name. Hallelujah.